It is just 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And the Sitka Sound Science Center is welcoming a new scientist in residency fellow. Dr. Joe Cook from the University of New Mexico will be here in Sitka October 6th through early November and is here in the studio with me this morning. Dr. Joe Cook, good morning.
Good morning.
You have, you're no stranger to Alaska and to Southeast Alaska. You're currently working with the University of New Mexico. Tell me a little bit about where you have spent time in Alaska before.
Sure. So, actually, I grew up in New Mexico, but a friend and I had always dreamed of going to Alaska. And so, finally, in 1983, we had the chance to drive our four-wheel drive truck up the Alcan, and I landed a job out on Kodiak for 6 months. And, boy, that was quite a great experience for a kid from the desert.
Sure. Well, I've got to ask, what was that first job?
It was with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and that was actually looking at seabird diets. Mm-hmm. And that, as it turned out, was an El Nino year, and all of the seabirds that we were looking at did not reproduce. So essentially they collapsed that year because the sand land and the capelin didn't show up. And so it was a really interesting year in terms of changing environments. Mm-hmm. And so the next year, I went back to New Mexico. I had a girlfriend, and next year we drove a motor home up the Alcan with eight friends, and we built a house in Soldotna. And then I went back to work on a PhD in South America. My research was in South America. And then fortunately in 1990, I got a job at the University of Alaska Fairbanks as an assistant professor. And we were in Fairbanks for 10 years. And I was also, in addition to being in the biology and wildlife department there, the curator of mammals for the University of Alaska Museum, which was a great job because it allowed me to move all over the state and explore mammal diversity across the state, because that's pretty much the statewide Museum of Natural History.
And then at some point in that time period, you became enamored with islands.
Yeah, actually, it was really early on. So it was the first year I was there, 1991. We came to Southeast to begin to try and document the mammals of this fascinating region. And it's fascinating for a biologist because, as we know, a lot of our major insights in biology have come from looking at island systems. Darwin looking at the Galapagos, Wallace looking in Southeast Asia. Just a number of things that we've learned, fundamental concepts have come from island studies. And so this was a big archipelago that very few people had ever actually been to from a biological standpoint, and documented the diversity and tried to understand the patterns of diversity on these islands.
A couple questions come to mind. We'll get to the what have you found a little bit about these islands, but just real briefly, why islands?
Uh-huh. So islands are interesting because in many ways you can think of them as a simplified system. So Baranof Island here, for example, has only a subset of the species that are found on the mainland. We don't have here, we don't have the black bears, we don't have the wolves, but we have the brown bears. And on the mainland, we have all three of those. So what is it that number one, allows only certain species to coexist on islands of certain size? So island size becomes very important. And then island distance from source populations, which would be the mainland, becomes very, very important, sort of from an ecological standpoint. So what you have in this archipelago is you have many islands, over 2,000 that have been named, and each one of those islands is sort of independent subsets of the mainland. And so understanding what allows species to coexist and how species got there in the first place and how they persist through time are really fundamental questions that biologists are interested in.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the answers that you have found in your studies over the time that you've done? And I know we don't have much time, but just some things you have found interesting.
Right. Well, so what is very cool about Southeast is that it's not only the biology that has taken place, the studies in biology that have been accelerating over the last two decades, but also geology. And so we're able to kind of cut across different disciplines. And one of the interesting ideas was up until about two decades ago was that this entire area was covered by ice, and up until about 10,000 years ago, and that since that time, all of these islands have been recolonized since the ice left. Well, we now know, based on the geology, the glacial record, as well as the biology, that there probably were pockets of what we call refugia, or areas that were not covered by ice that allowed species to persist along this coast. And we can pick up the signals of that using genetics of these different mammal species, and also, again, from looking at the glacial record. And that's important not only for understanding the history of how species recolonized the area, or how old the species might be that are here, because if they've been here for a long time, then they may become very distinctive, what we call an endemic. But it's also important for things like the human colonization of North America. And so the old idea about how humans got to the lower 48 originally was through an inland route on the east side of the coastal range. But now the leading hypothesis by anthropologists is that they came along a coastal route, partly because these refugia existed that would have allowed people coming down the coast to hop from refugium to refugium.
Mm-hmm. And you will you'll be presenting some of these cool things about our archipelago and some of your findings at a couple of different events throughout the month that you are here as a scientist in residency fellow for the Sitka Sound Science Center. And the next opportunity there is going to be a natural history seminar series on October 10th at 7 p.m. at UAS in Sitka. And your talk is called Island Life, a Mammalogist's Perspective on What's Cool About Living in Isolation on the Western Edge of North America. And you'll also be talking and working with local high schools and the University of Alaska students during your outreach here. And you'll be introducing them to something called the Isles Project, a specimen-based field project aimed at understanding the biogeography of the Alexander Archipelago. And you'll also be hanging around Whale Fest, which is coming up soon, and some details about that are at sitkawhalefest.org. So it appears they're going to keep you busy while you're here for a month, but I think you also will have time for a little bit of study while you're spending a month in Sitka as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
During your time here, we'll also, I'm sure, have some other opportunities to folks will have other opportunities to visit with you. Those opportunities will be made available on sitkascience.org. That's the Sitka Sound Science Center. And funding for this program comes from the
National Science Foundation. And actually, the National Science Foundation is also sponsoring part of the work I'm going to present here as well. NSF, or the National Science Foundation, is not only interested in research, but it's also interested in science education. And so one of the things that we'll be trying out with the schools here is an effort to bring all of the data that is available in natural history museums, which is now available online, to education. So actually allowing students to delve right into those natural history collections and find out, for example, where the different mammals are distributed on the Alexander Archipelago.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with me this morning, Dr. Joe Cook from the University of New Mexico, the Sitka Sound Science Center's Scientist in Residency Fellow for the month of October and a little bit into early November.